to each one of you. And, you know, a lot of times I'm excited about preaching a message that I just preached before. And so I'm trying to get excited about preaching the same thing that I preached last time. So maybe I needed more for myself to hear it twice. I've been working on this message and just taking a while to really get to it. We're talking about practicing sacrifice. That's the other value that we're dealing with. And when I was thinking about this, I thought about years ago, some 35 plus years ago, when I had given my life to Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been baptized. And after I had gotten baptized, I went in to change out of my wet clothing, and I was sitting in this little dressing room back home in Birdsong, Arkansas, Guildfield Missionary Baptist Church. And I made a statement to God. I don't know if it was I don't really even understand. Didn't know how to pray, honestly. I just said to God in that room, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go, and I will say whatever you need me to say. That was the statement that I made, not realizing that God would hold me to that. And that's what he's done. And I thought about all of that when I come to this statement that we have in our guiding statements, our guiding principles that we've been going through. And so this is what we say is the heart of Fellowship North. And Diane talked about that, the practice and sacrifice. And so what I want to do is to read this statement for us, and understanding that God desires that the statement won't just be on paper or on the screen, but it'd be a statement that's actively lived out in our lives. And so I also just want to say that I realized this as I was going through this, that I haven't arrived at this place. Like the Apostle Paul said, he said, you know, not that I've already arrived, but what I'm doing is I'm pressing toward the mark. And so that's where I'm at in this. I'm so far away from the very statement that I made some 30-some years ago of really sacrificing my life the way God called for me to sacrifice it. And nothing has reminded me of that more than having to sit with this particular message. So we read the statement. We as individuals are not first or most important. Did you hear that? We as individuals, we are not first or most important. You see, this just goes against everything about how I was born in the world. Because when I was born in the world, I was born and shaped in sin. So I'm born to believe that I am first and I'm most important. It's so hard for me oftentimes for me, I think about myself first. I think about how it's going to affect me first. And it takes a while before I can line my life up with the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that it shouldn't be me first. And I'm not the most important. Then the statement that's more to the statement, he says, the statement says, we will sacrifice, listen, our resources, our time, our abilities, our gifts, our agendas, our preferences, recognizing that God is our abundant provider and he calls us to serve. Man, what a way to end the statement. He calls us to serve. You can't just swiftly read through the word sacrifice. So I sit with the word sacrifice, and I pin out a definition for sacrifice. This is what God put in my heart. Sacrifice, an act of surrendering the very best of yourself or something for God's purpose and glory. At first, when I wrote the statement, I said, it's an act of surrendering yourself or something for God's purpose and glory. And I just sit with the statement, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not good enough. It's an act of surrendering your very best, because that's what I want. I want the very best. And the reason why God put that in my mind, because in the Old Testament, whenever they made a sacrifice, animal sacrifice, God wanted the very best of the flock. He wanted the very best. He didn't want them to look out on the flock and say, okay, that sheep going to die in a couple of days, so that's what I'm offering to the Lord. And honestly, that would probably be the way that I would do it. I look out on my flock and say, yeah, I'm going to give this one because he's weak and frail. No, God says, I want the very best. I want the very best of you, Harold. Of whatever you have, and I want it for my purpose and my glory. This is hard stuff. It can't be done apart from the Spirit of the living God. It's impossible. See, because when I was born in the world, I was born and shaped in iniquity. And this kind of thing, this word sacrifice, and sacrificing for God's glory, it didn't fit me. It only comes through new birth in Jesus Christ and growth in him. I want to read a passage of scripture that Diane referenced in her sharing in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, there's a principle. The principle is found in verses 3 and 4. The practice of sacrifice comes in verses 5 through 8. If you really need a model to see how you practice sacrifice, how practicing sacrifice works, then you need to look only to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he provides the perfect example. He's the only one who has walked the earth as a man and lived perfectly sacrificing. The only one. Yet God calls for you and me to practice sacrifice. It's a way of life for the believer that we're growing in. So I read it. Verses 3, starting at verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You hear this? Do nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, or in some translation says the same attitude, as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Death on a cross. That's the practice of sacrifice. So I want to share with you what it means to practice sacrifice. But I need you to understand that the teacher is not proficient in this. That the teacher wants to be way better than he currently is in this way of living. Why? Why is it that I want to be? For his purpose and his glory. That's why God give me breath of life every day. is so I can live for one reason, for his purpose, for his glory. And if practice and sacrifice is a part of that, I want to live it. And I want you to live it. Because this should, we say this is the heart of Fellowship North. And so I look at this statement here. And the first thing that I want to share is that practice and sacrifice will require me to be willing to have the mind of Christ. Have to be willing to have the mind of Christ. I'll never practice sacrifice unless I embrace the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ comes to me and to us by way of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you cannot think Christ. And so before I was saved, I could never embrace the mind of Christ. In Christ, he brings to me the mind of Christ. And so I need the mind of Christ in order for me to practice sacrifice, because that is the mind of Christ. But I don't just need the Spirit of God alone. I need the Word of God. See, I don't know about you, but the Word of God is important. It's important for me to master the Scriptures. It's important for you to master the Scripture, to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Why is it so important? So I can have the mind of Christ. So I can think the way he thinks. See, because I'm a fallen human being, came in this world sinful. And so I need Jesus to shape the way I think. Paul says this. He says, Harold, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why? Why is it that the Apostle Paul is calling for us to be renewed in our mind? Because every day I'm inundated with all kinds of things that don't line up with God from the world. The world is constantly feeding me thoughts and giving me ideas that are not consistent with the ideas of God. And the only way that I can purge my mind of those things is that I began to saturate my heart and my mind with God's thoughts. And that happens through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and in community with other believers who are in pursuit of knowing God. That's how that happens. I need his mind. He says this, let this mind be in you. Let it be in you. What mind? Christ's mind. Let it be in you. So the question is, are you thinking like Christ? Am I thinking like Christ? I will never sacrifice my resources, my time, my abilities, my gifts, my agendas, my preference until my thoughts are lined up with the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm not lining them up with him, I'm going to live in the way that Harold thinks, and that's bad. That's bad. Let this mind be in you. What mind? What is the idea that he's talking about? Well, the next thing he says, that if I'm going to practice sacrifice, I need the mind of Christ, but I also need to be willing to forego equality. Now, I sit with this for a long time and just researched what he means by that God, being in the very nature God, Jesus was, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. As God, Jesus had all the rights, all the privileges, and honor of being God, which he deserved and for which he had every right from which he could never be disqualified. He was God. Even when he became a man, he never ceased from being God. He was equal with God, but the scripture says he didn't consider it something to be held on to, something to be grasped. He was willing to give up his rights, to give it up, to sacrifice it. Why? For the glory, for the purpose and the glory of God. When he came to earth, he was still equal with God, but he never gave it up. He stayed equal, but what he did is he gave up the right. The best way God can help me to understand that is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where he says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness in Christ Jesus, in God. He didn't know anything about sin, but he became sin for me. He gave up his right as God in order that he might be sin. And so what does that mean for me? And what does that mean for you? What does that mean for Harold? See, I understand that Russell and I, in a lot of ways, we're equal. We're equal in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways, we're not equal. And so what God says is, it's what he's talking about when he say, I give up the right, that I say to Russell, I'm giving up my right so that I can effectively serve you. Because that's what God wants. And see, in our mind, we said, I got the right to do this. God says, give it up. Give up your right for my purpose, for my glory. So the question is, Harold, are you willing to give up your right? I want my right. God says, give it up for a higher purpose, for sacrifice. The best way I can look at that and understand it is this, Matthew 16:24-26. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must, listen, deny themselves and take up their cross. Take up their cross, sacrifice, and follow me. For whoever wants to be saved, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. That's sacrifice. I have to deny myself. I have to put away my rights for a higher purpose and cause. That's the purpose and the glory of God. And so I give that up in order that I might be able to sacrifice resources, time, abilities, gifts, agendas, and preferences. I'm willing to give up my rights. You know, I had heard a story about a guy who worked in a nursing home. And while he was there working, he had this patient. This man that had done him a great wrong earlier in his life, a great wrong. And so he had to make a decision. Was he going to serve this man? Was he going to clean him, bathe him, care for him, and nurture him? This man that had done him a great wrong, he had every right to say, no, I would not serve you in this way. But he forego that right. He gave it up to clean his dirty, nasty, stinking body, to care for him, to nurture him, to love him like Jesus would have him to do. I get it. I do. I thought about that story. God brought it to my mind. I thought about it. I said, could I do that? And I answered it right away. No, I couldn't. But the Spirit of God in me could. The Spirit of God in me, he could. Listen, the mind of Christ, he could. He could do that. And so I have to be willing to surrender myself to the mind of Christ, to the ways of Christ, in order to do that. Then Then he goes on. The other thing that I realized in the text is that that in order for me to practice sacrifice, I must be willing to be a servant. Have to be willing to be a servant. He says, rather he made himself, listen, nothing. He made himself nothing. In some translations, it says that he emptied himself. Now, don't get it messed up. He's not saying that Jesus gave up being God. Somehow, through some miraculous means, my finite mind can't embrace it. But nevertheless, he was still God when he walked the earth. But you know what he did? He chose to be a servant. Why? Because anybody who's practicing sacrifice, they're willing to be a servant. That's what they're willing to be. They're willing to serve others. They're willing to take on the life of a servant. The word servant is doulos, which means a bond slave. You know, it's okay. We glory in the title pastor. We glory in the title deacon and elder, all the wonderful things, bishop and apostle and all of that. But I love it when the Apostle Paul says, servant of Christ. Who is it that steps up and say, I want to be known as the slave in the church? The one who's always looking for the opportunity to serve somebody else. See, I'm preaching this, man, and I'm just like, Harold, you got to live that, son. Are you willing to be a slave, Harold? Matthew 20 and 28 says, this is what Jesus declared about himself. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. Jesus didn't show up saying, I wonder how I can get people to serve me. Of a matter of fact, in John chapter 13, the Bible declares that while they were reclining at the table, there was no servant that came to wash their feet. Bible says that Jesus got up from the table, wrapped himself up, took a towel, and kneeled down, and he washed Judas's feet. Although he knew he would betray him, he washed Peter's feet. Although he knew he would deny him, he washed Thomas's feet. Although he knew he would deny him, and all the other disciples, he washed their feet. He knew that they all would reject him, but he washed them anyway. He took on the form of a servant. And so God is saying to me, I don't know what he's saying to you. This is what he's saying to me. Will you do this? Will you wash the feet of that person who hates your guts? And I say back to God, no, I can't. But I will by the power of the Spirit who lives within me. Dina and I have a friend of ours who owned a business, and he had a partner. And the partner ripped him off for everything that they had in the business. Everything. And then what he did, how he responded to it, has ministered to me and so many others to this day. He had the right to go to the authorities and have him arrested. But he didn't do it. He took all the money that he had from his retirement and all of that and helped take care of that man who stole his money and his family as well as his own family. And you say, how could he do that? Let me tell you how. Spirit of God within him. Taking on the mind of Christ. That's how you can do it. Willing to become a servant. See, God gifts all believers, every believer is gifted. For what purpose? so that we can serve other people. Not so I can boast about my gift. Not that I can say, this is, look at the gift I got. Look at what I can do. That's not it. He gifts me so I can be a slave to you. Listen to what he says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter 4:10. To be a slave, use whatever gift that I have so that I can be a slave. That's sacrifice. You know, the other day, you know, my wife and I, we've been had this leak in our roof that I've been on the roof trying to trace it down every time it rains. I'm figuring out how this water is getting into my guest bathroom, and I had several people trying to help me figure it out, and so we thought we had it figured out, and we didn't have it figured out, and so finally, this one brother came over, and he said, we're going to find this, and so we did. Crawled all up in the attic and located it. And then he said, ooh, now we know what the problem is. Now we can fix it. And so it was raining that night, man, coming down. And so the next day he texts me and says, I'm coming over to fix it. I was like, man, I got a funeral. I want to help you. He said, no, you do what you're supposed to do, and I'm gonna do this. He come over and he takes the old foundation of it all, take off the shingles, all that, and he fixes it. He serves me in that way. And I'm climbing on the top and said, man, you should have waited. He said, no, I'm going to wait. And then the Spirit of God says to me, see him? He's serving you the way I want you to serve others. He's sacrificing for you. This is not his house, but he's sacrificing for you. Will you sacrifice for others that same way, Harold? Will you do that? He became a servant that I might live. So where is God calling you to serve somebody else? Where is God calling you to give up your time, your resources, abilities, gifts, agendas, preferences in order to serve somebody else? The next thing is this: be willing to live in humility. Nobody practices sacrifice without a willingness to be humble. Listen to what he says. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Man, humility. That word humility is just not in the lost person's way of living. It's just not in the lost person. When I was lost, I didn't even know that. I didn't know nothing about humbleness. But pride, boy, I knew pride. Boy, we are good buddies. I could see pride a mile off. I said, hey, that's pride. That's one of my buddies. See, pride, you know it, but humility, you have to learn it. Matter of fact, Colossians says that you have to put it on. That's what he says. Clothe yourselves in humility, in Colossians 3:12. Look back at Philippians 2:3, the principle. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. This is the verse that we ought to have memorized when we're engaging with other people. He says, in your relationships with one another, put on the mind of Christ. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Humility. Humility simply means to lower yourself to the place where you can pick others up. The word humility and submission, they are tied together. It means to submit. The place that I find it illustrated in the scripture is Ephesians 5:22 and 24. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. Now listen, don't miss this. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their own husbands in everything. Now I read that and a lot of people are like, oh Lord, they went and talked about that. But man, there's beauty and power and strength in what the wife illustrates on earth. She's illustrating Christ. That's what she's doing. And it's beauty and power and strength in it. And God, I remember my brother, who's a big guy. I mean, a big guy. He was at this gym where this guy, he boxed. And the guy told my brother, he said, I can sit flat on the floor, and I'm going to let you climb on my shoulders, and I'm going to stand up with you. And so he did. He got my brother on his shoulders, and he stood straight up with him. It was a demonstration of power. Nobody made the guy get down there. He did it willingly. He submitted himself willingly, just like Jesus Christ did. He willingly went to the cross. The wife willingly submits so that God could get the glory out of that submission. That's what she does. That's what God calls us to do. Live in humility. Next one is this. This is hard. He says, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now remember, I just read you the practice. Let this mind be in you. The practice is that we will obey to the point of death. What does that look like? Well, in the back, Russell said that obedience is better than sacrifice. And I amen them. I said, that's right. But you obey and sacrifice follows obedience. See, Solomon didn't obey. He just went to sacrifice, which he really wasn't sacrificing. And so God calls for us to obey him, to be obedient to him in order that you be a living sacrifice. Here's the verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, in other words, your whole self, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You don't have true worship until you're willing to be a living sacrifice. No true service to God until, Harold, you're willing to be a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a live one, where you die to self. That's what God called for us to do. Here's another verse that goes in line with the one that we read earlier in regards to the wife submitting. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The wife illustrates Christ in submission. The husband illustrates Christ in sacrifice. The wife gets to live. The husband gets to die. And so he says, you die. You die to yourself in order that God get the glory. And the way that I can illustrate that to you is that for so long, I've known that verse and I've said to people, if somebody was going to shoot my wife, I would jump in front of them and get that bullet for her. I'd die for her. If a car was going to run over, I'd push her out of the way and I'd be the one who get hit by the car. All the time hoping and praying that that never happens. And then one day, my wife and I had a disagreement. And I was convinced that she was wrong. She was upset about something that she was wrong about. And so, you know how it is. You go 2-3 days and you don't really talk to one another. You know, you just kind of walk around one another. And so I was going to go in my room. And me and the Lord were going to commune together. I'm down there praying and trying to read my Bible. And I can hear the Holy Spirit, not in an audible voice, but it almost sounded that way, saying to me, why are you here? Why are you here? I'm not interested in talking to you. And I said back to God, but God, she is wrong. You know she's wrong. And I can hear the Holy Spirit say back to me, see, that's your problem. You just want to be right. And the Holy Spirit said, but what about my glory? Because I'm not getting any glory out of the way you're conducting yourself. And he reminded me of this verse, that I have to be willing to be a living sacrifice. So I get off of my knees and go in the kitchen, look in my wife's eyes, and I die. And I say, I was wrong. Not that if I was wrong. No, I was wrong. I hurt you, and that's all that matters, is that I hurt you. And I was wrong, and I pray that you forgive me. And she did. And you know what happened? Glory. Because what it comes down to in sacrifice is God's glory. Will God get the glory? So you ask yourself, and at least I ask myself anyway, why should I practice sacrifice? And God say back to me, for my purpose, for my glory. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to God, let this cup pass from me. Then he said back to God, not my will, but your will be done. And so we bow. I want to ask you to stand with me. I don't know where you are or conditions of your heart, but I can tell you this, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he want to know you. He sure does. He want to be in relationship with you. So I extend that offer to you. And so after this service, if you want to know Jesus Christ, I'll meet you down here and we can pray together. But right now, we just talked about sacrifice. I heard people say it's a hard word. The word is not so hard. The living it is what's hard. It's a beautiful word. I can see the beauty in how Jesus gave up his life for me and for you. So what I want you to do is you bow, and I want you to pray within yourself. And at the end, I'll give you some time, and at the end, I'll close it. So you bow. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for sacrificing your life for us, for paying it all on the cross. And then thank you for raising Jesus from the dead. Because if you had not raised him from the dead, we wouldn't have the power to practice sacrifice. So I'm grateful for that. I pray that when we walk out of these doors, that we will allow the word of God to dwell richly within us so that we can live in the way that you want us to live. Let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You're dismissed.